Amen. Thank you, Bill. Bill told me before the service out in the lobby that he would play the first verse and then I would join him and sing the second verse. I think he did okay without me, don't you? That's a great song though, isn't it? Great song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Love the words to that song. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Praise the Lord for your presence and appreciate your faithfulness. I'm honored to be standing before you tonight, and including tonight for the next four Wednesdays. Honored to be standing before you and filling in for Dr. May. As you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I hope you had a great Valentine's Day. And I'm always letting you know what the holidays are. This week is actually National Love Week. National Love Week. So I'm going to do a series entitled The Love Book. The Love Book. Beginning tonight through the next, beginning tonight, including tonight, next 4 weeks, we're going to look at some random, if you will, verses about the subject of love. In the King James Version of the Bible, there are the word love appears 442 times. So we're going to look at some of those verses where the word love appears. And so tonight, we're going to turn to a verse for our first in this four-part series, a verse that you may have heard of, John 3:16. If you will, turn to John 3:16 with me this evening. We're going to take a look at that one verse and see what God has for us this evening. Y'all must already be there. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone here tonight. Thank you for our time together. I pray now as we open your word, we'll open our hearts, be receptive to your word. I pray that in the words of John the Baptist, that I will decrease and you will increase. Forgive me my sins and give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Roland Frederick Stewart, also known as Rockin' Roland, and also known as Rainbow Man, became famous in the 1970s and 1980s by attending major sporting events in the United States and around the world. When he went to these events, he would wear a rainbow-colored Afro-style wig and hold up a sign, a big sign, that simply said, John 3:16. He appeared at NBA championship games, Major League Baseball All-Star games, the Masters Golf Tournament, the Indianapolis 500, and even the Olympics. When Rockin' Rollin' would go to these major sporting events, he would position himself at that event in a place where he would be sure to be seen on TV. And he actually became very popular and very famous in the 1970s and 80s. During the 2009 college football national championship game, Florida quarterback Tim Tebow wrote John 3:16 under his eyes. Now, you may watch football and see football players that have that black under their eyes. That's called eye black. In the old days, years ago, they just had a black substance that was similar to shoe polish, and they would just smear that under their eye. But today, they have a black strip that is similar to a small Band-Aid or a small piece of black tape. And so they use that, they put that under their eye to cut down on the glare from the bright lights or the sun. So in the 2009 National Championship game, Tim Tebow wrote John 3:16 on his eye black strips and wore them on his face. And during that game, people Googled John 3:16. It was Googled by 94 million people during the game. Today, we continue to see John 3:16 signs at sporting events of every level. You can see them at high school games, college games, and certainly at professional games. Today, you can see John 3:16 found on hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, graffiti, and even personal tattoos. So what is so special about John 3:16? There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. And why is it, out of all of those verses, has John 3:16 become the most popular? Roland Stewart got saved in the early 1970s, and he said that he wanted to get the message out to as many people as possible, so he chose John 3:16. Tim Tebow said the reason that he chose John 3:16 is that it, and this is his words, that it is the essence of Christianity. This verse, this one verse, is the most basic and most important explanation of the Christian faith. There are 66 books in the Bible, and as I said, over 31,000 verses in the Bible. And John 3:16 provides a summary of all 66 verses and all 66 books and 31,000 verses. There is a common thread, a common theme that runs through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And that common thread is that mankind is lost and in need of a Savior. And in John 3:16, we see that thesis. We see the summary verse that answers that need. And the one thing that verse is based on is love. Without the concept of love, there is no John 3:16. Listen to me, church, listen. The premise behind this one powerful verse is God's love. Without it, there is no John 3:16. It is the foundational basis for the verse. In other words, God's love makes this verse possible. So tonight, we're going to look at this one verse. Our lesson is called A Lesson on Love. Number one, first of all, let's look at this verse. Notice the source of love. The source of love. Notice what it says at the first part of the verse. For God so loved. Now let's talk about the context of this verse and give a little bit of background here. We see in verse 1 and 2 that a man named Nicodemus had went during the middle of the night to go find Jesus to have a conversation. And we know from history and from the Bible that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish leader. He's a well-educated man, somewhat well-to-do, well-respected in the community, and well-known in the community. And so we see here in verse 2 that Nicodemus went to find Jesus because Nicodemus wanted to talk about Jesus. He was curious about who Jesus was, and he was trying to search out and discover this identity, if you will, of Jesus. But Jesus turned the conversation around. He turned the conversation around to the spiritual condition of Nicodemus and his need to be saved. And this conversation lasts for about 21 verses. And so in this conversation between a lost man named Nicodemus and Jesus, right here in the middle, we find John 3:16. And of course, it starts with God's love. Christianity is based on the gospel message. Yes. And that gospel message is based on God's love. Love here is the basis of the whole concept of John 3:16. Please understand, it is not just that God is loving. It is not a verb. It is based on the fact that God is love. Love is rooted in the very nature and character of God. Love is who God is. It's not something that he learned. He didn't Google it and read about it on the internet. He didn't attend a seminar. He didn't watch a YouTube video. God didn't have to read a book about the subject of love. He wrote the book on love, and it's called the Bible. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8 says, listen, says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. In other words, it originated with God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Here it is, listen, for God is love. God is the originator and orchestrator of love. And the Bible teaches, praise God, that God's love is everlasting and unconditional. I think some of us as believers, we make the mistake of thinking we have to earn God's love. Now, don't get all holy on me and say, no, not me. I think in our human weakness, listen to me, in our human weakness, in our human insecurities, we think we've got to be good enough for God to love us. We do things in order to earn God's favor and love. We got to go to church so many times. We got to read a Bible every day. We got to give so much. We got to volunteer so much. We do all these things, maybe subconsciously working to earn God's love. Let me tell you something. Listen, that is a concept that is so deep from the pits of hell, it smells like smoke. God's love is unconditional. There is nothing you can do to earn his love. Amen? Steve Parr was our guest speaker at our Sunday school banquet this past Saturday. We had a great time. Everything went great. We had some good food, good fellowship, some good fun. Steve did a great job bringing his message. It was very encouraging. But as Richard mentioned, the revival, Steve mentioned the revival to us in the earlier part of his message. Revival taking place at a school up in Kentucky called Asbury University. Asbury University is a private Christian college. And Steve told us about it on Saturday. The revival started last Wednesday. At their school, they normally have a chapel service on Wednesday on their university campus. It's a Christian school. So last Wednesday, February 8th, they had a normal, regular scheduled revival service. Excuse me, a normal, regular scheduled chapel service. And revival broke out, and it's still going on today, a week later. That's exciting. That is part. I'm not talking about, listen, we say revival, and we think about, you know, Sunday through Wednesday, we're going to meet at 7 o'clock at the church for a revival service. And that I'm talking about biblical revival is happening up there on that campus. And it was my understanding, when he mentioned it Saturday, I've been kind of keeping up with it on the internet, you know, and it's my understanding that college students, professors, university staff are in this revival. There are pastors, local pastors from that area and that region that have gone to the campus to worship in this revival. As Richard said, it is spreading to other universities because students from other universities are going to that revival service, worshiping, taking part in that revival service and going back to their own campus, and revival is happening there as well. The closest one at Lee University up in Tennessee, I understand, had some students go up, and they're now having revival on their campus as well. I'm much in agreement with my brother Richard. We need revival, and we need to pray that that true revival will spread. They are having the presence of God. But I read an article online. That article included a quote from a student that had been, they are going 24/7, haven't left. But she was interviewed probably over the weekend. This is a quote. Listen to what she says. She said, "We've been here in Hughes Auditorium for over 100 hours. Listen, praying, crying, worshiping, and uniting because of love. We've even expanded into Estes Chapel across the street at Asbury Seminary and beyond. I can proclaim that love boldly because God is love." Listen to me, church. Listen, we need revival in America today. Amen? We need revival desperately. That's the only thing that is going to heal our nation. But we oftentimes think about revival, and we think revival is something that's got to happen out there. So revival's got to happen with lost people. That's not biblical revival. Amen? Right? Come on. Biblical revival happens in the church among God's people. That's revival. Revival happens when God's people experience the presence of God, and when we experience the presence of God, we experience the love of God. That's what revival is. Remember, listen, what did Jesus tell the church at Ephesus? Oh, you're doing some things pretty good. You're doing all right. But you've left your first love. Also means you need revival. He said, return to your first love. That's what we need to do as believers today. That's revival, experiencing the love of God again. Whoo! I'm fired up for a Wednesday night. So we see here, but I see with the time I got to move on. We see here the source of love. Amen. Somebody say amen. Number two, we see the scope of love. Look at the second part of verse 16. For God so loved what? The world. The word world in the Bible comes from a Greek word, cosmos, cosmos. Cosmos, a Greek word translated, means set arrangement or set order. We get our English word cosmetics from this Greek word. Cosmetics. What is cosmetics? That's when women take their makeup, and men in today's world, men do it too. Women take their lipstick and their eyeliner, their blush, their what else? Their rouge. And they use that what? All in a set order and set arrangement. You don't put lipstick on the end of your nose. You don't put eyeliner on your lips. It is used in a set arrangement. Cosmetologist comes from the same Greek word, set arrangement, set order. Cosmetologist uses curlers, brushes, combs, them little aluminum foil looking things, and hair dryers, hair blowers, uses all of that to get the hair in a set arrangement or set order. The world, this cosmos, is in a set arrangement against the things of God. The world, this cosmos, is in a set order in rebellion against God. When Adam and Eve committed that first sin, it plunged the world and all of mankind into sin. The world is in this set order, set arrangement, rebelling against God, and as human beings born with a sin nature, we are just perpetuating that set order of rebellion against God. The Bible says that in our sinful condition, we're separated from God and that we are enemies of God. But God loves us anyway. Amen. I want you to think for a minute. You can even write this down if you're taking notes. Think about who you think is the most evil person who ever lived. And don't write down your spouse's name, but the most evil person who ever lived. I saw an article online. The actual title of the article was The 10 Most Evil People in History. Now, I'm not going to give you all 10 people. You'd recognize most of them. Most of them on the list were more modern time people. There were some from ancient times, some I didn't recognize, but you will recognize 3 out of the top 4, and I'll share those with you. Number 4, 10 most evil people in history. Number 4, Osama bin Laden. Number 2, Joseph Stalin, communist dictator. And number 1 on the 10 most evil people in history, you probably guess who it is, Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Now listen. Listen to me. What are we talking about tonight? The love of God, right? I want you to buckle up because I'm fixing to rattle your cage. God loved Adolf Hitler just like he loves you and me. Huh? Yeah. Now let's be clear. We know God didn't love the behavior, the sinful behavior of Adolf Hitler. He didn't love the atrocities, the terrible things that he did as a leader of a country. No, he didn't love that, didn't approve of that, but he loved Adolf Hitler. You know what? You got 2 things in common with Adolf Hitler. You know what they are? Number 1, you were created by God. So was Adolf Hitler. Number 2, God loved Adolf Hitler just like God loves you. Listen to me here. Listen, there is no one outside the scope of God's love. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us," praise God, "not willing that any should perish," listen here it is, "but that all should come to repentance." That all should come to repentance. That word "come" there in that phrase comes from a Greek word that means to make room. Because of the scope of God's love, he loves everybody. That means there is room at the foot of the cross for every sinner, including me, praise God. Oh, y'all don't hear me this evening. Listen, the population of the world is 8 billion people, and God loves every person, including you and me. And if we would receive that concept, it would change the world. Listen to me. I'm going to give it to you deep now. If Christians, if believers would appropriate that biblical truth, it'll change your life. It'll change our churches. You know why? If we would just appropriate, seize, receive that concept that the Lord God of the universe loves each one of us unconditionally, it would help us overcome fear. It'd help us overcome anxiety. It'd help us overcome insecurity. It'd help us overcome worry. And it'd help us overcome pain. Amen? Because God loves you, you can have victory over all of those things. You can be set free from all of those things. All of those things and even more cause us to hurt people, cause us to do things in our relationships we shouldn't do. But if you think about the fact that God loves you right where you are, no matter where you've been, what you've done, God loves you unconditionally. That'll change your life. There is freedom. Those things I mentioned, they shackle us in change. But there is freedom in knowing that God loves us. So we see here the source of love. Number two, we see the scope of love. And we got to move on. Number three, notice the sacrifice of love. We'll finish in just a moment. Last part, or third part of verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God saw our sinful condition. He saw our need, and it was his love for us that prompted him to take action. Amen? He gave his son to die in our place. I saw an article leading up to Valentine's Day yesterday. The article said, 14 ways to tell your Valentine you love him. I thought, 14, my word. Who can do that? You know, a box of candy, about the only thing I got to do. 14 ways. Oh, listen, aren't you thankful for the one way God demonstrated his love? Amen. One way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is a great verse. I think it's an extension of John 3:16. Tom, if you would, put that up. Put the other one up with the original verse. Oh, there you go. Thank you so much. This is Romans 5:8. This is a verse that you probably use a lot. I try to use this verse when I witness somebody. But notice this. This is an extension, a furtherance of this concept in John 3:16. Notice this. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. There it is. God is love. Notice how he showed that love, how he demonstrated that love. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That'll make you shout, won't it, church? So that's a great verse. You see the love in action there. But if you take that verse, you can make it a little more personal. What I like to do is change that verse. There we go. Thank you. See the blanks there. Instead of saying toward us, put our own name in that blank. Let me read that for you to explain what I'm talking about. But God demonstrates his own love toward Ted in that while Ted was still a sinner, Christ died for Ted. Boy, when you say that out loud, it personalizes it. It just brings it home. It just, something about that is really powerful. So I want us to do that. We can get away with this on Wednesday night, okay? Wednesday night's fine to do this. I want all of us to read that verse, and in the blank, I want you to put your name. Now, don't worry about the person next to you hearing you. Don't worry about what you sound like. I just want you to focus on repeating that verse with your name in there and listen to how it sounds. It makes that verse personal for you. We're talking about God's love for you. Notice that I'm going to say, ready, read, and I'll read it again and with you, and everybody reading it out loud, loud and proud. Amen? We good? Can we handle that on a Wednesday night? Here we go. Ready, read. But God demonstrates his own love toward Ted, in that while Ted was still a sinner, Christ died for Ted. How'd that go? That good? Praise the Lord for that. I want to close real quick. I know we got to go to choir practice. There's a old hymn that we sing quite a bit, still singing in church, Love, Mercy, and Grace. I want to read the verses, the words, one verse of that, and we'll close. 'Twas love that gave at greatest cost a life that mine should not be lost. the love that died in deep despair, my debt fully satisfied there. It was love that took my place on the cross of Calvary. It was grace, redeeming grace, that paid my ransom full and free. Over sin, without within, I have the victory through grace, marvelous grace that lives in me. My friends, we can have victory because of the source, the scope, and the sacrifice of God's love. Let's pray. God, thank you for your never-ending, unconditional love. I pray that we'll take this John 3:16, and I pray that it will change us here tonight, Lord. Thank you for your love. Help us to live in victory because of your love for us. Guide us and direct us now as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.